Om Agyanatimi Randhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Yena Tasmai Shigurave Namaha Namasreshtam Manamapishatsiputramatrasurupam Rupam Tasya Grajamurapuring Matarim Goshavatim Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Madhavasham Prapto Yasya Pratita Kripaya Shigurum Tam Natosmi Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Atav Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavans Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagarna Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Bharijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagarna Lalita Shri Vishwakarta Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Chapter 8, text 7, verse number 44.
You all got it? Tapyante lokatapena sadhavo prayasho janaha paramaradhanang tadhi purushasya kilatmanaha. It is said that great personalities almost always accept voluntary suffering because of the suffering of people in general. This is considered the highest method of worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is present in everyone's heart. Purport. Here is an explanation of how those engaged in activities for the welfare of others are very quickly recognized by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Ya idang paramangu hyam madbhaktesh vabhidhyasati nachatas man manushyeshu kaschin me priyakritamaha. One who preaches the message of Bhagavad Gita to my devotees is most dear to me. No one can excel him in satisfying me by worship. Unquote. There are different kinds of welfare activities in this material world, but the supreme welfare activity is the spreading of Krishna consciousness. Other welfare activities cannot be effective, for the laws of nature and the results of karma cannot be checked. It is by destiny or the laws of karma that one must suffer or enjoy. For instance, if one is given a court order, he must accept it, whether it brings suffering or profit. Similarly, everyone is under obligation to karma and its reactions. No one can change this. Therefore, the Shastra says, Tasya eva heto prayate tako vidona labhyate yad brahmatam upriyadaha. One should endeavor for that which is never obtained by wandering up and down the universe as a result of the reactions of karma. What is that? One should endeavor to become Krishna conscious. If one tries to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, he should be understood to be performing the best welfare activity. The Lord is automatically very pleased with him. If the Lord is pleased with him, what is left for him to achieve? If one has been recognized by the Lord, even if he does not ask the Lord for anything, the Lord, who is within everyone, supplies him whatever he wants. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Teshang Nityabhi Yuktanang Yoga Kshemam Vahamyaham. Again, as stated here, Tapyante Lokatapena Sadhava Prayasho Janaha. The best welfare activity is raising people to the platform of Krishna consciousness, since the conditioned souls are suffering only for want of Krishna consciousness. The Lord Himself also comes to mitigate the suffering of humanity. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanya bhavati bharata abhyuthanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya tadushkritam dharma sangsthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharata, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself to deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to re-establish the principles of religion. I advent myself millennium after millennium. All the Shastras conclude, therefore, that spreading the Krishna consciousness movement is the best welfare activity in the world because of the ultimate benefit this bestows upon people in general. the Lord very quickly recognizes such service performed by a devotee. That's Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 7, Text 44. Good verse for preachers to learn. Of course, in the Krishna Consciousness Movement, everyone is meant to be a preacher, but everyone's meant to be a preacher, everyone's meant to be a pujari, everyone's meant to be a cook, everyone's meant to be floor cleaner, but some specialize. So those who are specialized in preaching, they may learn this verse and take it as inspiration. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada stresses on the point of welfare work, how welfare work should be performed. There is another very important point in here. Tapya, tapasya, tapyante, they suffer. Srila Prabhupada gives here voluntarily suffer, as in the word for word meaning. So they take austerities. So definitely in preaching there are going to be difficulties. In anything in this world there are difficulties, but especially in preaching Krishna consciousness, there are kinds of difficulties which materialistic people don't experience because they don't have any motive to bring Krishna consciousness to others, to benefit others in the highest way, and they can't understand actually what we're doing. They may think it's very nice these people are jumping and dancing, and they're happy, they don't understand why. Or they may not like it, and they still don't understand why, but they think it's wrong. To help them to understand why, we give them books, which gives the teachings of the Absolute Truth, but people in general find it very difficult to understand. And even if we try to explain it to them, often it's very difficult for them to begin to understand. Just like I was mentioning this Lavanga Mataji, who's in Florida. She told me that she was speaking to a young girl from the University of Florida, how illicit sex is wrong, casual sex is sinful, and the girl couldn't understand it. It was a concept which was completely foreign to her. Probably if it had been explained to her that meat eating is wrong, she could accept that. And quite possibly she was even a vegetarian, because I would suspect that quite a lot of these students at the University of Florida are vegetarians. University of Florida, Gainesville, what do you think? Quite a lot of them? Yeah. Especially the ones who come to our prasadam distribution program there. But they think, well, meat eating is wrong because you hurt other living beings. You give pain. But if there's consensual sex, well, that's called love, right? It's called making love. That's good. It's not bad. But there are so many things wrong with that. First of all, it's sense gratification, which any sense gratification, any activity directed away from Krishna consciousness is a waste of time and energy, and especially is a very powerful force which binds us in this material world. Nunang Pramitam, this Pungsastriya Mituni Pavametam Dayoraho Hridaya Grantimaho Ato Griha Kshetra Sutabda Vitaya Janasya Moho Yamaha Mameti, binds us in the material world. Then discharge of semen into the body of a woman is meant for producing children. That may be prevented by contraception, or if it happens anyway, then there's abortion. There are ways to prevent the problems, but these are all sinful activities. Why sinful? Why sinful? We're not doing any harm to others. That's the point, they think. Not doing any. We're enjoying ourselves, which is good. We should enjoy ourselves. We're not doing any harm to others. So it's difficult to explain to others. So preaching is an austerity, plus going out day after day after day and facing all kinds of different people. It's difficult to rise early every morning without fail. Difficult. It's easier to sleep. Of course, you can go and get a 9-to-5 job and sleep in, but then you have to. You have another austerity of working for some. Bifale shevinu kriparna durajana chapala shukala balagire. This working uselessly, serving a useless person for some useless sense gratification. That's a rough translation of that. So there's austerities, but actually the more difficulty one takes in serving the mission of Krishna, the more one gets the mercy of Krishna. There's some austerity going on right here, holding this mic. Maybe we should change it. There are these some sadhus, you'll see at Kumbh Mela, they hold their arm for years and years and it just withers away. What's the word? Atrophies. But we don't want you to do that because your hands are very precious. They're meant for distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. Yeah. I would guess here in America the baseball stars have their hands insured, is it? Years and years ago, my father told me that, I can't remember the name now, some footballer had his legs insured for $5 million. Because it's his legs which score the goals. So I'd imagine the baseball stars have their hands insured, is it? Their arms insured. Hare Krishna. So, and the more one takes austerity in serving Krishna, the more Krishna is pleased. But useless austerities like deliberately taking a cold shower in the ice cold shower in the middle of winter. Srila Prabhupada used to do that, actually. He said that before he had a stroke in America, I think it was in 1966 or 1967, after which the doctors told him not to take. After that, he didn't bathe in the morning, early in the morning. He didn't bathe until midday in warm water, but he used to take cold baths. And he said that in his business life, one time he was in Saharanpur, in UP, in the winter. Ever been in UP in the winter? It's cold. It's probably as cold as New Jersey. And Srila Prabhupada took bath in unheated water. He was on a business trip. He wasn't on a pilgrimage. But he used to rise early in his family life. And he said everyone was surprised. Why is he doing this? So that kind of austerity can be taken in Krishna's service. But of course, Srila Prabhupada remained very healthy for many years. But if that's going to impede our ability to go out and chant the holy names and distribute Srila Prabhupada's books, for instance, by taking cold baths regularly, you could get bronchitis, you could get arthritis, and various diseases. So because we have to maintain these bodies for serving Krishna, you're already having trouble there. You can hold it up with your left hand if you like. You can switch arms. Then it's better to take the austerities which will help to help others. That is the best austerity, as is mentioned here. This is mentioned, Lord Shiva says this. He's famous as a great ascetic. He's also famous as Nilakanta, who has a blue throat because he drank the poison, halahala poison, which was threatening to destroy the whole universe, and he kept it in his throat, which made his otherwise white skin turn blue. So it was an austerity. He's saying it's an austerity. He must have felt it. If he could burn the whole universe, he must have had a burning sensation on his throat also. But he was willing to take that suffering to alleviate the suffering of others. So in Krishna consciousness, we find that the more difficulty we take in Krishna's service, the more bliss we experience. At the time, we may not experience. We may find it's difficult. I'll just relate something from my own experience. Once I was in one rainy season, I was parked in Bangladesh while our devotees went off to America to do a kirtan tour to try to raise some money, and I was sitting there with the rain pouring away, and I thought, what am I doing sitting here in the capital city, Dhaka? So I thought, let's go out on traveling Sankirtan. And it's raining, floods. And so we went out, and somehow or other we managed to go from place to place despite tremendous flooding. I remember I was in one town, Sunamganj, I think it was, and the town was on an elevated, but all around it was just like the sea. You couldn't see anything, just a few trees, tops of trees sticking out somewhere. So we were going by boat and hand boat. One time we were rowing in the river was very strong against the current, the rain was pouring, and when we saw a dead human body floating down, then we thought maybe we should stop here. So we stopped at the nearest settlement, which fortunately for us was a Hindu settlement, and we went to and took rest that night, not knowing if we'd be washed away in the middle of the night because the water level was rising, but fortunately we were. So it was austere. And then afterwards, after they all got back from America, I was allowed by Prabhu Vishnu Swami to go to my authority there, to go to Vrindavan, which I wasn't allowed because he thought I might run away from Bangladesh because it was difficult. So I was allowed to go for a short visit during Kartik. And one morning, Mangalati, I just felt Krishna's mercy pouring on me because... And I understood because I'd taken the difficulty to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. We were taking out huge trunks of books from place to place. So another anecdote I can tell, this was from Mayapur Festival some years ago, quite a few years ago. Must have been sometime in the 1980s. And the erstwhile Harikesh Swami was saying, because Russia was opening up at that time, the USSR, and he said that, he said on the Vyasas and giving a class that oh, now Russia's opening up, they're not so much bliss as previously, because the opportunity for mercy, now that you can openly chant in the streets, the holy names, the mercy you got of being chased around by the KGB and the police and all this, you won't get this. It's difficult to get the same kind of mercy. The Christian tradition is full of stories of Christian missionaries who took all kinds of risks, and many of them were actually killed by inimical governments or by other parties of Christians. Catholics get killed by Protestants. Protestants get killed by Catholics because their missionary spirit to preach Christ consciousness, it's one form of Krishna consciousness, in very dangerous circumstances. Dangerous because people want to stop them. So it was like that in the USSR. There were some people in the government quarters who wanted to stop that by any means. Others were more liberal. So it wasn't monolithic in its approach. So the devotees went there at great risk. I saw a video some time ago of Harikesh and Kirti Raj Prabhu being interviewed, and they're telling the stories of what they were doing in Russia and Poland and different places. And it was quite a story how they were... one time they were released from Russia. They weren't sure whether they were going to get arrested. And at the airport they were stopped and they were interviewed, and eventually they let them go. But even as they were going on the plane, SAS flight Moscow to Stockholm, a Soviet jet, MiG jet, flew by the side of the plane until it left Soviet airspace. And later they got the news that the whether or not they should be held, the question had gone right up to Leonid Brezhnev. And he was being asked that. And because they thought, we got the kingpin of the whole Hare Krishna rascal movement in our hands. Are we going to let him go? So it went up to Brezhnev, and Brezhnev asked his advisor, who was some kind of mystical woman who liked the devotee, and said, let them go.
Oh,
but the Soviet jet followed them because they were trying to convince him. And the Soviet jet fighter jet was following, so that as long as they were in Soviet airspace, they were trying to get Brezhnev to change his mind. And if he'd changed his mind, the jet would have radioed to the SAS pilot, turn around and come back. There was some who were so much out. So it was very dangerous. Now, unfortunately, the whole thing was undermined. Should I say this or not? Well, if you see the video, you'll see it yourself. That Nrisimhananda Prabhu, who had the good sense to interview them so that all of this didn't just get lost in the ravage of time, after hearing some of these, and this is just one anecdote, and they just told a few, and it's quite amazing what the risks they took for spreading Krishna consciousness. I'm just saying this because when you're out there in New York distributing books, and it's tough, and it's hot in the summer and cold in the winter, and you meet all kinds of people, favorable and unfavorable, you may think, why am I doing this? You can think of even Christians, up to the present day, they take so many risks to spread Krishna consciousness. What Srila Prabhupada did to bring Krishna consciousness in the first place to the Western world. But anyway, when Nrisimhananda asked them, why did you do it? And their immediate response was, Kirtiraj Prabhu said, oh, we were young. And then Hare Krishna said, and we were stupid. Young means you may be more bold, but stupid not. They forgot. They were doing it for Prabhupada and for Krishna and for uplifting the fallen souls. I had an experience like that myself, performing in a difficult time in Bangladesh. There were many difficulties at the time. And one time I thought, why am I doing this? And I was bewildered. Why am I doing this? I could be sitting comfortably somewhere else. I could be... I heard one of my godbrothers in Australia. He said, Australia's a nice kind of place. The people are nice, the climate's nice, they like devotees, mostly. People are very nice, actually, overall. You meet Aussies, huh? Is that? You meet people from all over the from all over the world.
We heard from Australian brahmacharis also.
Yeah.
And they compared New York to Australia.
Yeah. If you did that in Melbourne or Sydney, you get a much better response, although it's not bad in New York. So what was I saying? The devotee and said, well, if you can preach in hell or preach in heaven, I'd rather preach in heaven. You know, why? In other words, why take so many difficulties if you don't have to? Well, someone has to. Yeah, following the mouth, is it? Someone has to... Someone has to preach in hell also. So I had the experience once in Paris. I thought, why am I doing this? I could be anywhere in the world. Why am I here? And then I remember doing it with Prabhupada once. The people are suffering from lack of knowledge of Krishna. They require to be reminded about Krishna. So... it's not stupid. It's the most glorious activity. And it's not just for young people. Srila Prabhupada came when he was almost 70 years old. And naturally, in youth, you like to have a bit of adventure.
Yeah.
see the world? Well, you can see the world right in New York. It's not exactly the same as traveling around, but it's the same everywhere. Birth, death, old age and disease. In different shapes and forms. And it is an austerity just to stay in the same place and do the same thing day after day after day. Personally, I find it an austerity. After recently, in recent years, I've had the opportunity to stay on various farm projects with big open spaces and to stay in these. Of course, now we're here in New Jersey, it's not so cramped. But New York is very cramped in. And if you look out the window, there's nothing nice to see. So it is an austerity, but just remember why you're doing it. And always remember that this, we're doing this to save, to play our part in Srila Prabhupada's movement, to save the poor conditioned souls from their ignorance of not knowing Krishna. We ourselves may be in a pathetic condition that we struggle to chant our rounds, but at least we're chanting rounds. We struggle with our mind, but others are not even struggling with their minds. They're just completely surrendered to their minds. They have no idea what the goal of life is or how to attain it. And even if you try to inform them, they're not interested. And so you've perfected the art of speaking in various dialects and in manner that different kinds of people can relate to. You go up to people, give them a slap and say, whatever you say, hi, how you doing, bro? Devotees don't behave like that, but if you behave like a civilized Vaishnava, who's going to take the books? They won't even stop. So practically, you in one sense, you have to come down to their level. Just you have to relate to them just to even make some communication. And the books you're selling mostly on the basis of some good feeling that you generate on the spot, not on the basis of tasyaiva heto prayate takovido na labhyate yad brahmatam upriyadaha. Srila Prabhupada quotes in this purport that human life should be spent for finding out that kind of existence which is beyond this suffering of going up and down in this material world. So that's just a thought for you all. Don't be deluded by Maya has so many tricks. So don't be deluded by thinking, well, I can do something else and why should I bother with this and it's stupid. No, it's most glorious and most intelligent to serve Srila Prabhupada's mission by chanting the holy names and distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. Hare Krishna.
Hare.
You have a question. I can hold this.
No.
If I hold it, I can hold it like this. I'll do my little bit of austerity also. I don't get so much chance nowadays because I have all of you serving me. So.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah.
You were talking about how in one mangala of Krishna.
Yeah.
So, like, Guru, so how do you differentiate between actually the mercy of Krishna and some mental speculation?
How do you differentiate between the actual mercy of Krishna and some mental speculation? Well, in that case, there was no question. You can imagine it. But I knew it was because I'd taken that difficulty for a few weeks or months. So that was Krishna's mercy, just to. It was experienced like that. It's consonant with everything we've heard from Srila Prabhupada. If I had just sat and watched television for a few weeks, and then I felt the mercy of Krishna coming, that's not in line with. That's not in line with what we've learned from the acharyas and from Shastra.
Maharaj, now when we take risks, we face several challenges and several obstacles in trying to fulfill Srila Prabhupada's desire.
Yeah, taking risks means we face obstacles, challenges, yeah.
So, but at the same time, we heard from one devotee that when one commits offenses, then one faces obstacles and challenges.
When one makes offenses, then obstacles come in our advancement in Krishna consciousness. So different kinds of obstacles. Obstacles in our advancement means that the mind will become polluted by material desires. Uh-huh. Obstacles in preaching means other people. There are so many obstacles in so many ways will arise, beginning with our own mind.
So, when we face obstacles in preaching, we should not conclude that as
obstacles in preaching are not the results of offenses that we have committed. It's the results of offenses that others are committing. Or it may be obstacle in preaching. Okay, the whole of the city is covered in snow, so you can't go out, right? But if there's 10 inches of rainfall overnight in New York, does New York stop?
No way.
The city rolls on, so you can go out too.
Yeah.
If others go out, you have to go out.
Right.
It could be conceived of as an obstacle, and it is, but it's not an obstacle. People don't take it as an insurmountable obstacle to their working for sense gratification. So why should you take it as an obstacle to your preaching Krishna consciousness so they can wake up from the illusion of sense gratification?
The argument is that when you're preaching, Krishna is if you're preaching, then Krishna is pleased with you. If Krishna is pleased with you, then why are you facing obstacles?
So if Krishna is pleased with you, then why are you facing obstacles? Ask Haridas Thakur, ask Lord Jesus Christ, ask Srila Prabhupada. Ask anyone who's ever preached Krishna consciousness. Do you think preaching means you walk out the door with your books, everyone runs out of their houses, falls at your feet, gives you blank checks? Then what is the meaning of this verse? Tapyante loka tapena. Silly, silly arguments. Hare Krishna. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada.
Just want to say, from my experience also, I see that almost every month basis, because I have japa calls and Bhagavatam class every day in the morning. Last 5-6 years I have been. I have to wake up every day.
You have to wake up every day and wake up the others by phone.
10, 15, 20 devotees, pick them up and call them for every bhakti, call them for service. So it's not easy.
Yeah.
Even still I have to call, even after 5 years.
No one called me this morning. I didn't wake up till 4 something, past 4 o'clock.
Sometimes I think, you know, why am I doing but, this? Why am I still not getting the mercy? Why they are not changing? But still I'm doing, because my guru is doing it, so at least I have to do my part as an example. Otherwise, what is the use of me surrendering? So take that inspiration, following Prabhupada and Guru.
I have another suggestion. When your hair becomes completely grey, it's time to quit this whole money-making endeavor and just do full-time service.
Like I said, I am fed up with this going to work and everything. I want to go to Vrindavan. Is it a good idea?
You're fed up with going to work. Do you want to go? I want to go to Vrindavan. Is it a good idea? He said, I'm going to say no.
So we both like planning to go like...
Yeah. But maybe even better than going to Vrindavan is going to Union Square Park.
That's right. I don't have to work, Maharaj.
No, I'm saying you can do full-time preaching here in America. Union Square Park or anywhere. I'm just saying Union Square Park because that's where they do Harinam every day. Yeah. You're still young enough, your hairs are not all grey yet, it's going that way. So why not do some active preaching in this miserable Western world? You came here for sense gratification, basically speaking. You got, for money, that's the thing, and you got Krishna's mercy. So you could also do some full-time service here, preaching and everything. Bharata bhumite hoilo manusha jamma ja janma shata kari karo para upaka. Or you can go to Vrindavan, but you'll find, you may find more mercy in the hellish streets of New York than you find in Vrindavan. You have that t-shirt, Festival of Inspiration. Srila Prabhupada wrote in one letter that Vrindavan is for inspiration only and our real work is all over the world. So you can go time to time to Vrindavan. But our real work is all over the world, as Srila Prabhupada did. And then when his transcendental body was manifesting the pastimes of being old and worn out, then he went to Vrindavan and left the world from there.
Guru Maharaj, Rameshwar Prabhu showed us this one letter of Srila Prabhupada that after they distributed lots of books, he went and told that, you know, yes, you know,
here, say it.
Srila Prabhupada's letter was given to Rameshwar Prabhu and it said that because, you know, you're helping me, I'm pleased. Because Srila Prabhupada said, because you're helping me distributing my books, I'm very pleased. But I'm sure that my Guru Maharaj's blessings will be upon you thousands and thousands of times. So being grand disciples of Srila Prabhupada, you know, will it go on like the father is pleased with the grandfather's...
Yeah, Srila Prabhupada wrote that in one early letter. He said that the grandfather is always more kind than the father. So you're getting, he wrote to his disciples, so you're getting the mercy of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur.
So, like, since Prabhupada is our grandfather, since...
The point, yeah. You can get Prabhupada's mercy. You get his kindness more than I...
Is the spiritual master pleased, like when you're taking lots of austerities from Prabhupada?
Is the spiritual master pleased when you're taking lots of austerities from Srila Prabhupada? Again, am I going to say no? Don't take austerities for serving Srila Prabhupada. Am I going to say that? Of course, they should be meaningful austerities, not useless austerities. In Gita, that Krishna says, Karshyanta Shariristam, was that verse? The demoniac austerities. Okay, Hare Krishna. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.